Listen, we're giving away a free Hyundai Tucson.
I cannot believe this is happening, and we need to make this a little bit louder so the people out there know what is happening.
Yes, you only have until when, Joelle?
Saturday, September 25th, midnight. So Friday into Saturday, midnight.
All right, you're going to go and you're going to write an essay that's a maximum 100 words about why you or someone you love should get this free Hyundai Tucson. And I have breaking news for you. You might say, that would be cool, Zach and Donald, but I can't pay the taxes on the gift of a car.
Oh, Zach, why don't you tell them what is going to happen with the taxes?
Yes, Donald, we are covering the taxes. You will not pay a dime in taxes if you win this free Hyundai Tucson.
Just so I'm clear.
Yes, Donald, go ahead.
We're paying the taxes?
Yes, we're paying the taxes on,
the Hyundai Tucson.
Yes. So what you're going to do is, let's say you or someone you know in your life really could have their life change with a car. You can't get to that job that you really wanted. You can't visit that family member that really needs help being taken care of. This is not for someone who wants a car upgrade, okay? Please don't waste our time or iHeart's time or Hyundai's time. This is for someone who has a true story that will be verified, so please don't lie, where your life will really, really be changed with the car. And the good people at Hyundai are going to give one winner a free Hyundai Tucson.
I am very excited about this, and I'm very excited to read all of your letters, because yes, you know I'm going to read them all.
I bet you will. Joelle's going to tell you right now the website where you go to write your 100-word essay on why you should win the free, and I mean free, no taxes paid, Hyundai Tucson for you or one of your loved ones.
Oh, my
gosh. Joelle, tell them where to go.
Okay, guys, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to www.fakedocshyundaigiveaway.com. Again, the address is www.fakedocs, like this podcast, Hyundai, like the car you could get, giveaway, that thing we're doing, .com. Check it out. Apply for you or a friend in need today.
Yo, yo, I just got to say one thing real quick.
Yes?
Cue the motherfucking music!
Hi, Casey!
Hi! I never get to hear my theme song.
Oh, you haven't heard it at all?
No.
Donald?
If you put on the headphones, I can play it for you. I think. Hold on one second. Let me just make sure. Hold on. Audio assets, segments. Casey, local. Okay, let's see here. Shares. Open it up.
Oh, if it takes you this long, Daniel, no wonder nobody's hearing it.
Wow, Casey coming with the fire.
Jeez.
Wow. Okay, well, maybe I won't play it.
Casey, come down here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools. So tell me what to do. I don't know nothing about raising these kids. And that's what it is.
Fire.
Yes.
Fire.
That's a hit. It's a smash.
That's a bop.
That is a bop.
That should be your ringtone. Joelle, are you making that a ringtone?
Yes.
Please. Is it available yet or no?
It is not available yet, but we're hoping early next week.
Okay.
Oh, I can't
there you go,
wait.
Everybody. You're going to have that ringtone. Casey, that needs to be your ringtone.
Yes, mm-hmm. It will be. I have to tell you guys, and then I'll let y'all start, but I just bawled my eyes out watching this damn episode.
Oh. Cabbage.
It's,
yeah.
Oh, my God. They need to play that like right now on.
I know.
Television.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I'm just going to say this, but since you're here, I'll say it. When all of COVID started, this ending was sort of this explanation of how a virus spreads was sort of going around the internet, yeah. And it's such a beautiful, in this case, it's a beautiful articulation of how things spread. And then, of course, they play Coldplay's "Fix You," and then goosebumps all over.
Then you're done.
Yeah.
No, it's true, because it's like, it's not saying anyone's an asshole. It's just, it's that easy to just hurt someone without even knowing, you know, it's so
right.
Sad.
And just like what's happened, I'm sure, with COVID so many times, someone doesn't know that they have anything dangerous. They don't feel any symptoms. Yeah. And then they unknowingly pass it on to somebody else who is perhaps an old woman who could die from it. Yeah. And that person never knows. They go, I wasn't sick. They don't know that they were a carrier that gave it to an elderly person that died.
Yeah.
Well, it's worse than that now, man.
It's so sad.
This Delta version. I mean, I don't want to make this episode about COVID. I mean, even
well,
though
we can talk about it a little bit because that's what comes up. You know, this green thing that flies around the hospital is really the perfect example of how COVID spreads.
Yeah, and now the Delta version. It's, you know, it's in kids now, and kids are getting sick, and that's really scary. Being a father of two young children.
Well, bet. Well, if you have people in your life, listener, who are one
later,
of those
babe,
people,
I love you. Sorry.
Are you talking to me or her?
To her.
Oh, okay. If you have people in your life, listener, dear listener, that are I don't know, not believing the science of it all, show them this episode because I think it does in a very creative way show how a virus is so easily transmitted.
I'm great. I just want to say one last thing. It has nothing to do with... She left her sunglasses. She'll be back. Maybe I should go and get her. Hold on.
Oh, boy.
Casey, leaving us in suspense. Here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools. So tell me what to do. I don't know. Oh, Jesus. We don't need to hear you screaming.
Yeah. I also need to ask him about the room that he's recording in, because that room is echoey.
Well, we lost the magic of Donald in his closet.
We did, unfortunately. His sound sounding so good, so dead. Alas.
Let's give him his notes.
Hey.
Daniel wants to talk to you about how shitty your new room sounds. Go ahead, Daniel.
Okay. Well, it's just a little bit more echoey in there. Is there potentially like a different corner of the room you could use? Or
Yeah, I mean not this episode, but yeah, for sure.
No, of course.
I'll get one of those things. I think I have one too.
A sound panel with some foam nipples on it.
Yeah, to surround the mic.
That could work. The, you know, optimally, this is not, you know, preferable, of course, but it's like getting the corners of the actual room itself. Because it's like, yes, that will deaden it right around the mic, but your voice is still echoing off the, you know, the walls of the room.
Okay.
But you know, then again, I'll see how much I can fix with just effects. Maybe it's not going to matter at all. And when I get to editing episode 411 or 511, then we'll see what we really need to do.
We'll
but anyway, just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
Yes, you're very echoey. It sounds like when we have Johnny C and he won't move from his dining room table and he sounds very echoey.
But even with this microphone, it's like that?
Yes, I mean,
it's not
actually,
a function of the microphone, Donald. It's a function of the sound waves bouncing off the corners of the room.
Shut the fuck up. Let's go.
You honor me.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know.
That was a wacky beginning of a show.
Wait, so we're going to keep all that?
Yeah. Keep it all. Okay. Keep it all. Keep Donald even screaming at the top of his lungs for Casey. My cabbage. Very wacky, wacky, wacky episode.
Wacky episode and very predictable episode. Maybe because I remember this.
I didn't predict it at all.
Well, I remembered this. Maybe because I remembered the episode so well. But when you said, you know, I have an intern that keeps fucking up, I knew right then and there, it's cabbage, you know? That was clear. When you were saying, I have interns that are doing all these things, I knew it was just one person.
That was pretty predictable. I remembered the green thing solely because it went, you know, viral. No pun intended, on the internet when COVID started, because people thought, oh my God, this is a really good representation of showing that. So I remember seeing that. I forgot that cabbage on his way out takes out Mrs. Wilk.
Yeah.
That fucker, cabbage.
Cabbage takes out a bunch of people, actually.
But we don't even know. Cabbage, that's what's so fucked up, is Cabbage doesn't know that he... I forgot if Mrs. Wilk dies. I think she does. But
he dies,
know that he,
yeah.
Yeah, so he doesn't know that he did it.
Yeah.
So Keith climbs into bed with me, and he gives me a kiss because he's intoxicated, and he thinks he's climbing into bed with Elliot.
And I thought you were going to push him off.
Well, all I say is... Tender.
Yeah.
Tender. What a weird thing to say. Like, you might
Isn't
say,
that a dating app?
No, that's Tinder. You might say if someone called you
is
like
that a different? Is it different? Wait, is Tinder and Tinder different?
Yeah, Tinder is spelled T-I-N-D-R.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
like,
and what
like
is...
Tinder for a fire, and he's saying okay. Tender like a chicken tender or being tender thought, with somebody.
Holy shit, I thought Tinder was like...
Oh, you thought the dating app was Tinder?
I thought it was like a sexual way of saying
find your chicken nugget on Tinder.
No, he's saying that he thought like, because it's a dating app, like you're going to be tender with your lover. So yeah,
it's like Tinder moments.
It's more like Tinder fuck buddies.
That's right. Right. Okay, I get that now.
Right.
Hot fuck buddies.
Isn't
yeah.
Tinder the most of all the apps, Daniel? I'm asking you because sure. You're in the know. Isn't Tinder the most like hookup-y one for straights? For the straights?
For the yes.
That shit made me laugh so hard on Ted Lasso. Oh, like Grindr. And everybody's like, just like Grindr. Mm-hmm. That shit's funny. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes, we
I
do.
Don't know. Yeah. I told Bill that you came clean. And then you'd been lying the whole time about watching Ted Lasso.
What'd he say?
He thought it was very funny. And I said that Donald came clean, and then now he thinks it's the greatest show ever made. And he said, oh, I got to come on and talk about that and make fun of him.
Can't wait.
Anytime.
Yeah, the man's on fire, man. Yeah. I'm so proud of him. He's killing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I see you, and I say he's a decent – in my defense, Keith's a decent kisser.
Right.
So when I woke up, I left out a pleasure moan.
Right.
I mean, it's a little bit unclear, but it sounds like when it wasn't just a cuddle. It sounds like I woke up and we made out a little, and then I let out a pleasure moan.
and then I say something like, you say something like, well, don't you have any college things where you... almost hooked up with a guy, or were you drunkenly hooked up with a guy? And right. Then we look at each other.
Yes.
And we realize we can't hang out for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, this is just a stupid story point to have you hang out with Elliot and not me, I guess. Right. But we learned that we must have made out in college. Shocking.
In college. Drunk out of our minds, we totally hooked up.
Shocking.
We had a sword fight.
Have you ever had a drunken sword fight with a man?
No, I've never had a drunken sword fight with a man.
Sober?
Sober sword fight is another story. That's
another. Have you drunken, crossed streams? No. Have you crossed streams?
Well, yeah, when you're kids, you always cross streams, don't you?
Okay.
When we're all standing at the urinals?
I've been there.
I used to try and freaking make it. I was like, let's make it so that when it connects, it looks like one.
Let's make our ropey streams one.
Well, I don't know about ropey.
Have you found that your stream isn't as strong as it once was?
Oh, no, it's nowhere near. Like when I was in my 20s or early in my teens, that shit was like fucking.
I know. I miss a thick stream.
I listen to my kid go to the bathroom. That dude sounds like he's...
I know.
It sounds
child.
Like a thunderous, like a it's raining and thunder and lightning is outside. It's just like.
And we're only in 46 and 47. What the fuck?
My shit comes out and it's like.
Triple drop, triple, dribble, dribble drop.
Especially in the morning when you wake up. Oh,
Daniel, why are you making that face? You're headed to this, so if you haven't happened to you yet, just wait.
I'm certainly ready for it. I'm just saying, if it's really dribble drop, you should probably talk to your
No,
your
but that's what happens to seniors. But we're definitely, you definitely
I'm on my way. I'm
at
on
hashtag
my
46.
Way.
Okay. You don't have a thick, ropey stream.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It's like ropes.
Yeah. All right. So Cabbage is really a fucking mess as a doctor, right?
Yeah. Well, he's not only a mess as a doctor. He's like, I wouldn't say he's aloof, because aloof, you kind of have some sort of a knowledge that you're fucking up. This dude is oblivious completely to the fact
Although
that he
I did
is a
laugh
horrible
when he...
doctor.
When he fucks up the IV and I go, got some on you, look out. I go, no, that's some of the fun that you can have.
Right. But no, but look, and the fact that JD's covering for this dude, because he kind of reminds him of himself. And, you know, it's a very dangerous game that he's playing, because he doesn't like Keith, because Keith's banging Elliot. Like, we're not really clear on why he doesn't like Keith.
He doesn't like Keith, obviously, because Keith's, you know, he's jealous that he's with Elliot, even though he wouldn't say that.
Right.
Keith's very handsome. He looks like a Ken doll. He's ripped. He's got abs. and dynamite areolas. Mm-hmm. And we also learn from Cox that he's the best intern that the hospital has. So for all these reasons, JD is green with envy and wants to take him down.
Right. When really, this dude's probably going to be his... I don't know if Keith ever becomes an ally, or does JD hate him throughout this whole relationship?
I don't know. We'll have to watch the rest of the show to find out.
And now I'm wondering how they break up, because I know they get serious at some point too.
Well, Travis did a good job.
Travis did a great job.
You know how you're doing a good job? They keep giving you more and more episodes.
Yeah, he's really come a long way in like the 3-4 episodes that he's been in so far. He's already starting to fit in pretty well.
And you can also see that the actor himself gained confidence and
which that's what I meant.
Course, of course that would happen. You know, you come into this cast that's been doing this for four and a half years, and you're asked to just, you know, get up to speed and join them, and it's intimidating. And I think Travis did a really good job.
Yes, he did.
Mrs. Wilk is finally going home, and Judy gets her a giant card. I give a courtesy laugh. But I'm way more excited to present my present, which is a DVD of Famous Centers, because she likes basketball.
And you even got it signed by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And everything's going great until Keith comes in, and his father plays flag football with the actual Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I guess so, which is hilarious. Which is hilarious in itself. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar playing flag football. First, how long are the flags? Two, right. Who's he playing with? Because how is anybody going to even be able to reach up and grab said flags?
I don't know. But I love that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar likes to act, because as we know, he was in the Airplane films.
Yes.
He was just on Dave, the TV show. I don't know if
so
you know that.
Good.
So yeah. Yeah,
did you see the most recent Dave? It's really bizarre and good, where he goes to work with the famous
Rick
producer.
Rubin?
Great
episode. I love that
really
one.
Good episode. Donald, you're not watching it yet, huh?
I have yet to watch Dave.
I can't. Listen, have you learned any lesson from us begging you to watch Lasso and now you love it? Is there any lesson that you could learn that maybe you'd try Dave?
I mean,
It's about rap.
That doesn't mean much to me. It's not Wu-Tang. Is Wu-Tang on it?
No.
Wu-Tang's forever. Remember that. Dave is temporary.
I'm going to guess.
Wu-Tang is forever.
Let me guess. The pads are still not labeled. Let me guess.
What you trying to get into?
Nope.
Wu-Tang forever.
That's
right. Wu-Tang forever. Until Little Dicky has Wu-Tang on the show, I'm not interested.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm bullshitting.
Great show.
I just thought you may have learned a lesson when you had this epiphany. You went, you guys begged me for so long, and I love Ted Lasso.
You know what I did start watching was Doogie Howser.
Why?
Because why not? That shit holds up, man. That shit is a freaking...
Of all the things on television, I don't understand why, of all things, you chose Doogie Howser. No offense to Doogie.
Thank you. That shit is fire.
Yeah, that theme song was dope.
It really does hold up. What doesn't hold up is the little typing at the end.
Yeah, when he writes in his journal.
Yeah. It's good in the beginning, like in the first season and the second season. By the end of it, not so much. But
why have you decided to binge Doogie Howser? I just don't understand.
I don't know.
Have you tried any adult programs?
Doogie Howser's not for adults?
I think Doogie Howser was meant to inspire teens.
I don't know then.
You like what you like.
I
think you might like Dave, because it has a lot of things you like.
You said that about Atlanta. I didn't like Atlanta.
Okay.
You didn't like Atlanta?
Joelle almost fell off her chair. Look at her.
I don't give a fuck how everybody feels about that shit. I like
just
what I like.
Joelle's
it's just
face.
That simple.
You're very much Joelle's allowed. Face.
Joelle, you need a fan. Joelle's like a woman who needs to be fanned right now.
I feel like I do need to be fanned a little bit, because it's maybe one of the most ingenious original shows to grace.
I didn't hate Atlanta. I just didn't have time for it. You know, that's how it
all
goes.
Right. Let's
but
move
Doogie
on.
Doogie Howser. Okay.
Okay. Listen.
Doogie Howser all day, every day, just like Wu-Tang forever, baby.
I'm going to need Doogie Howser all day, every day on the soundboard. Yeah.
I'll cut that out.
I'm sure we could get Neil Patrick Harris to come on and talk about
it. I would love to have Neil Patrick Harris on the show to talk about it. I told him to his face. I was like, listen, man, you don't know. Doogie Howser, when I was a kid, I fucking wrote. I was ride or die Doogie Howser fan, man. Like,
okay. Well, everything he went on. Reach out to his representatives and see if he'll come on.
He's busy. That dude works. He does so much. But if he does, I'll be very excited.
He does a lot of things. But this is a very popular podcast, Donald. We can get anyone who do you want? The Rock, Tom Cruise? We can get anybody.
You can get The Rock?
We could get The Rock. Yes, Joelle, don't make that face. I could get The Rock. I know The Rock.
You know W?
I'd love to have the face was, could The Rock and I be on the same Zoom call? That is blowing my mind a little bit.
Yeah, that automatically makes me want to smile. Like, what? I can't. just The Rock on the same Zoom call as me and me being, it's just.
Okay, I'm gonna get The Rock. I can make.
If you could get The Rock, this would be the shit.
The Rock has nothing to do with Scrubs. At least you brought up Neil Patrick Harris as a show you loved and are binging now for some reason. I could get him.
But if you could get The Rock and Kevin Hart, that would make my life. If you could get the two of them,
I like to do the impossible. I like to do the impossible.
Or if you could get Snoop Dogg, that would be the best day ever.
No, I don't think Snoop Dogg's right.
I would smoke weed with Snoop Dogg and you all. That would be the weed episode.
I don't know if the listeners really want to listen to you baked talking to Snoop Dogg, but maybe they do.
Fuck yeah, they do. How could you not want to listen to me baked with Snoop Dogg?
All right, for shizzle.
For shizzle dizzle.
So then it turns out that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar says that's not my signature on the DVD. Apparently JD has forged his signature. He's giving Miss Wilk a DVD present, and he's chosen to forge Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's signature.
Yes.
And then I pretend that he's mentally disturbed, and I say, back to the psych ward, Mr. Rosenberg.
Is that what that joke was?
You didn't understand it?
I didn't get it, because he said, I think everybody knew that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, so I didn't
know. That's why JD's pretending that he's a mentally ill man who's pretending to be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So I say, back to the psych ward, Mr. Rosenberg.
Oh, my gosh.
You're just getting that?
Oh, my gosh. I just didn't see the connection because it's clear that it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And
I know. That's what's so stupid about the joke.
That's what's so stupid about JD, man. JD does JD not realize that it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
JD feels that he can...
He can sway the room?
Yes, he can sway the room. He can plant a seed of doubt in Miss Wilk's mind. By the way, Miss Wilk was not nearly as impressed as she should have been that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar walked into her room.
She seemed pretty impressed. She was real happy.
I know, but I mean, then the subject got changed and we're all just talking to Kareem. No one's flipping out.
I mean, he's such a cool dude too, man. Like, after Scrubs, I met him once before Scrubs and he was nice, but after Scrubs, every time I see him, he always says hi. And if you know Kareem, he doesn't always do that. You know what I mean? Like, there are a lot of people that have asked Kareem for autographs and stuff, and he doesn't do that. He's like, I'd rather shake your hand because that feels more personable. Like, that's more of a connection, right? And every time I see him, I'll be like, hey, Kareem. And he'll stop and go, hey, man, how's it going? And then he'll turn around and keep going. And keep walking. That's a luxury. Not a lot of people get that, and I'm very happy to say I get that. And I hope we work together.
You've reached hello, how are you status.
Yeah. With the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I know you're not going to watch the show, but he had a very funny cameo, bizarre guest appearance on Dave. But apparently clearly the man likes to act because he's on a lot of stuff.
He's a fabulous writer.
He's a wonderful writer, right? And he's a wonderful activist, too, like an amazing activist. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mickhead is out of prison and handing out orange jumpsuits.
Yes, which makes it so that you know we're in California.
California can't be the only place with orange jumpsuits.
In New York, it's like stripes with freaking the jail.
But orange jumpsuit is sort of like a trope of prison garb.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know, but I believe that's the California.
Joelle's going to look it up for you, but I feel like there's a lot of when people say they want someone to go to jail, they're like, oh, can't wait to see that guy in an orange jumpsuit.
Okay, I truly believe I could be wrong, but I do believe that it is.
Joelle is researching where orange jumpsuits come from.
I got Arizona Department of Corrections has it, and also in Australia,
and then LA, so. And that's it. Arizona, California, and Australia are the only places where they have orange jumpsuits.
Why are you so sure about that?
According to Wikipedia, in the United States, to make a skate more difficult, prison uniforms in the United States often consist of a distinctive orange jumpsuit. And then they have different colors for different levels of
seriousness. I never put two and two together that was to prevent escape. That's part of it. And that's why the other one is striped, so you stand out.
I bought an orange sweatsuit. I immediately decided I wasn't going to wear it anymore because people were looking at me a little funny, I think.
Like you escaped?
Like I escaped from the jail, from the prison system.
Okay, now this crow thing is so fucking stupid. I mean, I don't even understand. I far be it from me to criticize the master bill. But
this was the funniest part of the episode to me. You didn't like it?
The crow?
The fucker threw the pin at Cox and dropped and then Cox throws the bedpan at your face.
Yeah,
The crow comes into the wrong room and he turns around. He said, I said 136. And then he looks at the sign and it's 136 and he stands corrected. Right. You didn't laugh at this shit.
Were you stoned? Laugh at...
Dude, I'm always stoned when I watch this show. This is one of the best shows to watch, though.
Oh, okay. But I thought you said you were on a weed break. So I was like,
I am on a weed break. I don't smoke it when we do the podcast anymore.
Oh, okay. Calm down.
You told me that you liked it better when I didn't smoke on the podcast because I'm quicker.
Yeah, right. I do. Yes.
Right. So I decided before the podcast, I'm not going to smoke. I'll smoke after
the
podcast.
Okay, good. Now I said, I'm just conflating my viewing experience with yours because I usually watch right before we
do
the show.
Right, I do not. I don't.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Now, yes, this is very stoner friendly, The Crow, and I was not partaking. I'm not surprised that you found it hilarious.
That shit was fucking hilarious, dude.
The janitor trains the crow.
I don't know if he trained the crow or
he
if the crow.
He does train the crow.
No, I think the crow was already trained because he said, let's see what else you can do.
The crow made tiny furniture for his wreath. The crow lives in an old Christmas wreath.
Yes.
And the crow, amongst many things, understands English, understands commands.
Also understands the art of mime.
What do you mean the art of mime?
The fucking crow pretended to be dead at the end of the episode.
I wouldn't have said the art of mime. The crow knows how to pretend
play possum.
He's dead.
The crow knows how to play possum.
And it got like flicked in the head by Kelso.
And even gets plucked and freaking stays still.
Now,
until
why
Kelso
does the janitor? Why does the janitor?
I wish the crow made more episode appearances.
Oh my god! Why does the janitor speak Spanish to the crow?
Because he named the crow Sanchez.
By the way, not Sanchez. Sanchez.
No, Sanchez. Just like Raccoon, Sanchez.
Raccoon
and Sanchez.
Dear listener, I hope that if you need to say the word raccoon, you say it raccoon.
Right. That shit had me rolling. I wish Sanchez would make more appearances.
Well, here you go, guys. This is the difference between two different viewing experiences. But Sanchez... How about when Todd comes into the hospital? That's the funniest part.
I have a question. Well, yes, funniest, okay, go ahead.
Funniest part of the episode by far is Todd coming in with the green infection tint on his anus and his mouth.
And his crotch area.
I didn't see it on his crotch. I saw it on his butt cheeks and his mouth. And then he says he loves Chinatown. Now, I think
this is where I have issues. What? So was this his first time ever going to Chinatown?
Well, what I inferred was that he went to Chinatown and went to a brothel and partook with both men and women.
For the first time?
Yes. Because he acts like he's never been to Chinatown.
Chinatown is awesome. That's what he pretty much said.
And I guess it could have only been a woman, but there was clearly ass play. So
a lot of ass play.
It made me think that there was also some male. We know that Todd is fluid.
Yes.
So I assumed in my mind that the Todd went to a brothel that had both Asian men and women, and he hung out with them both.
Yes, and yes.
All right. So I won't let Keith, because I'm such a prick, go to his grandmother's funeral.
Yeah.
I say, Keith, I realize you'd like to go to your grandmother's funeral on Saturday. Heck, we all would. But you can't just take a day off whenever you feel like it.
So mean.
And then we learn that Cabbage is allowed to go to, what, the zoo?
Yeah.
Or to see King Kong.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Because he's an ape enthusiast.
Yes, because he's an ape enthusiast.
And then Cabbage does a very funny gorilla impression. By the way, this episode was directed by John Inwood, our cinematographer, for all 8 years.
Yeah. I have a question to ask you.
Is it John's first episode directing? Probably not.
I don't
know.
Joelle,
will you look that up for me?
I imagine he was directing, but he got to direct before.
But there's some cool trick shots, you know, with the bedpan and the crow that John came up with. Obviously,
he did a really good job on this.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you one question. I need you to be honest with me.
Go ahead.
When Cox mentions Dr. Acula, did you get excited?
Yes. Me as
Donald Faison got so excited. Got so excited.
And it doesn't go anywhere. I don't know why Bill decided to have... in what world would Cox read the Dr. Acula screenplay?
I have no idea. But the fact that he doesn't think it sucks...
No. And I asked him if he liked the Transylvania dream sequence.
And he didn't want to talk about it. He was like...
No. He was out of compliments after that.
Yeah. That was it. But I imagine he did.
I really wonder why Cox took the time to read Dr. Acula.
He read the whole screenplay.
Yeah. But that was all he was going to give JD. He was not going to comment on the Transylvania dream sequence.
No.
All right. Speaking of dream sequence, this is arguably
the best in the world.
The best and the weirdest.
I laugh so hard at the fact that these two are bathing a pumpkin.
All right, wait, we got to go slowly. Okay, don't rush. Right,
let's go. Let's go.
This is John's fourth episode. Sorry. He did My Lucky Night, Her Story, and My Boss's Free Haircut. That shows you how I'm no Trevor Wicke, everybody. This is John's fourth episode. We are going to talk about probably the weirdest fantasy in Scrubs history, maybe up there, top 10, when we come right back after this break. And we're back!
And we are back from that break.
Wu-Tang welcome forever.
Welcome back from forever. That break. Fate, doctors, real friends, welcomes you back from that break.
Did you like, did I send you me singing Les Mis with my friend Preston?
I really did enjoy that. Preston can really sing. Well... It's clear who's the Broadway performer and who's
not.
Why
do you gotta fucking turn this into a diss of me?
It's not a diss. It's just that Preston is really fucking good.
But he's playing fucking Javert on the national tour. I can't sing like that, but I thought I held my decent own community theater self.
I wouldn't say community. I would say more high school.
Oh, my God. I'm pissed. You know what, Joelle and Daniel, I'm going to send you this video. My buddy
Preston. It's really good. It really is good. And here's the honest to goodness thing. Zach sings on it, and when he sings, I was like, very good, Zach. But then he made the mistake of sending his buddy singing on it, too. And then it was like, oh.
No, here's what happened. My buddy
that's
Preston,
the difference.
My buddy Preston is staying with me, okay? He is an amazing Broadway singer and piano player and tap dancer, and he can do anything.
He's like a straight up performer.
There's nothing he can do. When he walks into a room and they say, "Oh, which part do you sing? Baritone, tenor, soprano?" Which one do you want me to sing? He has the sickest range ever, and he before COVID shut Earth down was playing Javert in Les Mis on the national tour.
Wow,
He has that kind of voice. So we're hanging out at my piano, and we start singing one of the confrontation with Jean Valjean scenes together. And Josh Radin was here, and he started videotaping it. And I kind of did okay. And
You did great. Hold on. Don't get it twisted. You did great. It's just that when he sings,
oh my God,
it's a jump. That's all.
Okay, I get it.
I'm not saying you suck. I was very impressed. I was like, look, go on, Zach, go on. Yeah,
that's like saying when you, if you're hanging out with your buddy Savion Glover and you're doing moves and it looks good, and then Savion Glover ruins it when he starts.
I'm so easy. See, that's the difference between you and I, Zach. I know when to say, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. He did fucking shut me down. I could take it. You can't. You're Zach. You're Zach Braff. It can't be that way.
I'm going to send Daniel and Joelle this video, and their response is not going to be, yes, your voice is not as good as Preston's. Their reaction is going to be, not bad, Zach.
Well, I didn't say you were bad. I didn't say not bad. I said it was great. I said you were great.
You know what you should eat?
Let me guess. A bag of dicks?
No, I was going to say D's nuts. All right, the pumpkin fantasy. So let's just go through this, okay?
After you eat a bag of dicks.
Donald, let's go slow.
Okay.
Your character, JD has a fantasy that Turk won't be a good parent.
Because Carla says Turk won't be a good parent.
Carla says it? Oh, sometimes I worry about you being a father.
Yes.
Like okay, so in the fantasy, you...
I'm on my way home from picking up the Halloween pumpkin.
From the pumpkin patch.
Right.
And you leave the baby at the pumpkin patch.
Where another person finds the baby and takes them and raises the baby on its own.
Right.
When I bring the baby home.
Yes.
Carla, when Turk brings the baby home, Carla says, well, it is cute.
Yes. And you as a couple decide that you're not concerned about your real human baby. You're going to raise this pumpkin as your child.
We're going to raise this pumpkin.
Okay, so you raise the pumpkin. We see the first bath.
We see the pumpkin playing Little League and gets hit by a pitch.
Yes, a lot. By the way, a lot of time was put into this fantasy. Usually the fantasies are like quick pops. This took a lot of photography.
This was a day of filming.
It plays Little League, and then we see you at the college graduation with the pumpkin.
No, the high school graduation with the pumpkin, I think it is.
Okay.
I think.
Yes, high school graduation.
Right.
And it's wearing a cap.
Yes. It's graduated.
It's graduating. And then you drop the pumpkin.
Yes, and the pumpkin splatters all
cracks
over the
crack open
or it's shattered. Right, whatever it is, pumpkin does.
It's destroyed. And while you and Judy are mourning the death of the pumpkin.
Well, we think we could save it by putting it back together.
Right.
Turk's actual kid, Junior. Christopher Jr. comes around this corner.
Yes, he comes around
and
the corner.
And recognizes his mother and dad, father.
Yes, he looks exactly like his father.
Right.
And he recognizes them, and he's so thrilled. There's finally going to be a reunion. All of this, he doesn't seem upset that he was left at the pumpkin patch. He's just too excited to see them.
And they're excited to see him also, knowing, holy shit, okay, the pumpkin died. The pumpkin that we decided we were going to raise instead of looking for our son. The pumpkin that we decided we were going to raise instead of looking for our son has now died.
Right.
Fuck that thing.
Yeah.
The real deal has finally, the prodigal son returns.
Yeah, yes. And you lovingly, because you're so thrilled, call him towards you.
Yeah. Come to me, son. You get your butt right over here.
And then.
In crossing the street, he gets run over by a bus. And it makes the day even worse because not only did we lose the pumpkin that we decided to raise instead of looking for our kidnapped son.
Yeah.
We also lost the son that returned to us.
You've lost both sons.
Yes.
Donald, can you remember, Daniel, can you remember another fantasy that went on that long in Scrubs history? I think that's the longest one.
Yeah. Maybe. No, because I can't remember any that changed location even.
Dude, it goes from, it's in a car. It's not only in a car. It's at the pumpkin patch.
They shot it for a full day.
Full day of work. I remember. You never forget this shit. You never forget when you're like, wait a
second. Were you laughing while you were doing this?
I didn't understand it. I was like, let me get this straight. The pumpkin is our kid? And they were like, yeah. I was like, all right, whatever you say.
I liked him in his little graduation gown.
Yeah.
So cute.
The fact that the fucker graduated high school.
What about when the pitcher hits him in the helmet, in the head, and, and you and Judy get all mad like
and tell him to rush the mound. That pumpkin's not going to rush the mound.
Yeah, the pumpkin can't move.
How did the pumpkin get up to bat?
I'm sure someone placed them there.
How did the pumpkin get the hat on and the bat in its hands? Like
how did the pumpkin successfully attend high school?
Let's just say this. Let's say the pumpkin does get a hit. Let's just say that this happens.
Okay.
How the fuck does the
it'll
pumpkin?
It would probably be a bunt.
How did the pumpkin get from first base to from home plate to first base?
Maybe they're allowed to roll him like a bowling ball.
There you go.
Maybe because he's special, they have an agreement that they can roll him to first base.
The pumpkin graduated high school. How the fuck did the pumpkin make it through math?
I don't know. But I just got to say, this I think in 5 years that we've watched so far is one of the most bizarre. I know we've got more bizarre ones coming up, including when you're Goat Turk.
Goat Turk's coming soon.
Goat Turk. That was good.
No, not only Goat Turk. Not only Goat Turk. Don't I become a plant too? There's Plant Turk too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, talk, there's Plant Turk.
What was Plant Turk?
I don't know. I don't know. I think they grew him from my missing nut.
Oh, that's right. We plant your nut.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We plant your removed testicle,
yes.
and it grows into Plant Turk.
And I and in one episode, don't I have a testicle that is
That's warm.
That's warm. It's like a radiator.
Yeah, and Rob and I.
Rob, you and Cox and Dr. Cox.
We gather around it for heat because we're camping. Keith is upset that he doesn't have a nickname. And he says, JD says, not everyone can just come up with a nickname. He says, my last name is Dude Meister.
Right. And then Cox says, you think the Dude Meister, you're talking about the Dude Meister? He's one of the best interns in here. And you go, right. The name's too long. It's never going to stick. It's too long.
Yeah. Yeah. When amongst showing Cabbage's mistakes, they do a little riff on the X-ray being backwards, which comes from our title sequence where everyone in the medical community likes to tell us that the X-ray in the title sequence is backwards.
I'd like to believe... I know that we've had Bill on here and we've asked him about it and he said it was an accident, but then he said that they, you know, he's always
said it was on purpose. I think it was not on purpose. There's no way, but I think that I've always said, well, I've rationalized it by saying, oh, that makes sense because they're interns. They were fucking up.
And also it's Scrubs. It's a comedy.
Right. But this, I thought it was a clever comeback when they were brainstorming for ideas for Cabbage to have a fuck up. One of them involved a lung X-ray backwards.
Right.
When we see Rob, his peep, you can see it bounce again in the locker room. I don't know if you notice. It's not held down. It's not like you know when you have a pickup truck and you sort of ratchet strap things to the bed.
Yeah.
Well, Rob's cock needs ratchet straps. Because it's bouncing. Joelle, didn't you notice? It bounces. It's loose in there.
It was definitely doing a lot of work in that shot.
Yeah. This is what this is crazy, man. On NBC, they allowed this. You wouldn't be able to see this on ABC, man.
I know.
On NBC, they were like, it's bouncing in the banana hammock. So what? We don't care.
I would have thought that they would have tied it down to his leg or just really somehow braced it. But in this scene where he's doing the rat tail,
you see, and I told you guys that there's a picture out there of Aloma and fucking Judy
looking at
that penis.
Mm-hmm. I saw it on Instagram.
That wasn't even like a side look. They were looking straight at it.
They were straight at it. On. Yeah, yep. Straight on.
You're correct.
Listen, don't at me, but Fix You is one of the most beautiful songs ever.
Oh, it's great. Oh, such a good song.
I've heard Fix You an infinite number of times. Ugh. And it started playing in this episode and I got goosebumps down all my legs.
It's just such a noble song, you know what I mean? It's so noble. It's a man realizing that his the love of his life is hurting so bad because of her loss.
Right. Is that what it's about? That he wrote it for Gwyneth Paltrow when her father died, right?
Yes. And he's trying to, and he's like, I'll fix you, knowing that he can't. The only thing that's going
to
fix her.
I'll try to fix her.
Yeah. Only thing that can fix her is time, you know?
Yeah. It's such a beautiful song. And I've seen a lot of Coldplay concerts, and it's, you know, how bands rotate all their songs. They always play Fix You, and they do it in the most amazing way. Because actually, if you've never seen the video for Fix You, go on YouTube and check it out, because it's really cool. It sort of shows you a little bit about what they do in the show, because the video, as the song starts slow, Chris Martin's alone, and he's sort of walking through the streets, and he's singing, you know, very simply. And then as it builds and builds, he starts sprinting, right? And he sprints, and then he sprints into the arena, and he runs out on stage to like 80,000 people just as the song kicks in and pyro goes off, and it's thrilling. And that's kind of what happens in the show. So look up the music video on YouTube. It's really, really good.
You know, I would love to be a musician just to recreate that for myself. Like, I'd love to be a rock star just for that alone. Like,
oh, they were my
like,
God.
In this scene, you're going to run in and everybody's going to scream for you.
And you wrote the song. And that's what's so crazy about it. In the stadiums when he does it, there's like usually like, you know, how at big bands will have like a long runway, you know, down through the stadium. He'll be down at the end of the runway, you know, in the audience, and then he runs down, and then leaps up into the air, and then pyrotechnics go off, and the whole fucking 80,000 people are singing his song. I can't think of a higher high a human being could have.
Right.
And it's not and the kicker, you wrote it, and everyone is fucking singing your song.
Right. That is an unbelievable high, man. It has to be. I remember I walked out on stage and sang with Gloria Estefan, Coming Out of the Dark, when I was in high school, and I was a part of a repertory company, and she chose my repertory company to sing with her at Madison Square Garden for 3 nights. So for 3 nights, I would walk out on stage during Coming Out of the Dark with Gloria Estefan. And when I tell you, it, like, you cannot imagine the feeling. And I'm in the back, like, we're background, she's in front singing the shit, and we're background. I don't even think the mic was turned on. You know what I mean? But just the feeling of the crowd going nuts as you walk out, even if they're not screaming for you, it just felt so good, you know? It feels so amazing. Like, I know Josh gets a rush when that happens to him. I know Carrie gets a rush.
There's something so extra. I mean, we've been in plays and stuff, but and that's obviously a small audience. But I always think about, like, singers, particularly singers that write their own music, like the idea of being up there and then they hold the mic to the crowd and like 80,000 people sing their lyrics to them.
Yeah.
I just think I can't imagine a higher high than that.
No, there is no such thing. It can't be. I mean, maybe Jaleel White's Purple Urkel Diesel, whatever the weed is that he has out.
Have you tried Jaleel White's weed?
He's supposed to come hook me up, man. Jaleel, where you at?
I don't know if Jaleel listens to the show.
Yeah, he does. He said, "We, Jaleel, hook us up with the waffle iron.
Jaleel,
he got a waffle iron. He got a waffle iron and everything, bro.
What's a waffle iron?
He got a waffle iron for the Purple Urkel, so you can make waffles with the Urkel face.
Oh, all right. But more importantly, he has his own line of ganja, and I think that Jaleel, if you do listen, I think it would be nice if you brought some over to Donald's house since you guys are friends." And Joel lives
and
nearby.
Joel.
You can drop
right,
some off.
And Daniel and Joel, they both got real close to the camera, like, dude.
We're ready.
I'll happily sample.
All right, we have a guest, right, Joel?
We do.
Let's go to break.
Right back, and we have a fun guest for you. Be right back. And we're back
from break. Welcome back from break.
Omega.
Welcome back from break. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
When I wanna rock, I really wanna rock and rockin', cause I'm making rockin' rockin' to the 40th degree. I am the bism, the wisdom, the when I wanna rock. Okay, ready?
Okay, let's bring in our guest. let's bring in the guest.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage. Maybe talk about the episode. So come
give it up for April and Mikey!
Hi, guys. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Very nice to meet you. Where are you all calling from?
Go for it, April.
Oh, we're from Portland, Oregon.
Oregon okay. In the Portland. House.
Portland Oregon in the house, in Donald. The house. Donald, do you know any restaurants in Portland, since you like to often reference restaurants in people's neighborhoods?
I don't know any restaurants in Portland, but I
have
do know
have you ever
that,
been to Portland?
Didn't that Voodoo Donuts come from Portland? Isn't that from Portland?
Yes, it does. There's some other contenders. Blue Star's a really good one. Voodoo Donuts is where like the tourists go, but there's 1,000 good ones now all in that area too. It's nice. Good. Like, don't get me wrong.
But Voodoo Donuts was the first, right? Voodoo Donuts was the first.
I've never been to Portland. I don't know anything about it other than what I've learned from watching Portlandia.
There's the Blazers. They have the Blazers.
Shout out the Blazers.
Shout out Dame Lillard and the Portland
Are they called the Blazers because people like to blaze there?
No, it's a trip. They're the trailblazers.
No, he's right.
Trailblazers.
But also,
Yeah, I just thought I think of my sweeping stereotypes that they like ganja in Oregon, so it might be the Blazers. They should change their mascot to a guy smoking a giant blunt.
I would be behind that.
April, are you a gamer, April? Because you're in a gaming chair.
I think that's her boyfriend's gaming chair.
Yeah, my boyfriend, he's a videographer, so he was nice enough to let me use his setup today.
Oh, okay. Does your boyfriend also play video games, or does he just do video editing and stuff?
He also plays video games, for
okay,
sure.
Yeah, because that chair, you know, Daniel, you know, doesn't that chair... Daniel, when you're on your poll on Twitch, do you use a chair like that?
No, I use the chair that I'm sitting in right now. I got my Herman Miller.
But why don't you get something like April's in, because that's what I associate gamers have.
It's really comfortable.
It's hard to it's a little bit harder to twerk in a chair.
Oh, we'll and you know when you're naked, Daniel, your butt cheeks might stick to that kind of chair.
I really need the aeration up in here.
Yes,
sweaty butt.
Yes.
Oh. Wait a second. I wasn't aware of this, Daniel. You're naked during your live stream?
Yes.
Twitches?
Yes, of course. Why do you think people are tuning in? You honestly thought he was playing games with clothes on?
I'm late to it. I'm late to this.
That's
this is
why
just...
people tune in. He's got a hairy got chest and he plays it. Naked.
Got it.
That's He's the whole called, cell
his,
right there.
His tag is Gamer Bear.
Gamer Bear.
Nailed it.
All right. Sorry, Mikey and April. Tell us why you called in.
First of all, how do you two know each other?
Yeah, what's the connection?
This is tied together. So I was actually in a high school math teacher at an all-girls private school, St. Mary's Academy here in downtown Portland. And I was April's math teacher when she was a sophomore, right, April?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it was actually one day in classes kind of randomly that she asked, oh, Mr. Bedney, do you like... Scrubs, the TV show Scrubs. I'm like, oh yeah. And then we just started talking because it's, you know, like Scrubs and that I'm not sure if a lot of your peers were watching Scrubs, April. I just kind of assumed no.
No, I mean, you were the first person I really actually had a conversation with about the show. And I think that that's kind of what cemented us still talking to this day.
Oh,
wow.
How old are you now, April?
I will be 26 in October.
Okay. So you're talking
10
about
years ago.
10 years ago, roughly, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you guys, and you formed a friendship over Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Aww. That's so cool.
April's the kind of person that says, like, she's an amazing human being, but it, like, she also, she kind of slow plays you a little bit, right? Like, she can start out real quiet, or at least you did in the day. It might have changed, April, but like, she started really quiet. And then once we started talking about that, then it was like kind of an opportunity to get to know her more. And it's like, okay, well, I want to learn more about this person and all that sort of stuff, too.
That's so great. Was April a good student?
Yeah, I think so. We don't have to get too nerdy, but like you were in the second year of algebra as a sophomore, which is not, right? Am I remembering that right?
That's right, but I was not very good at math, I will say. I'm better at other things.
Maybe she was taking algebra for the second time, Mikey. You don't remember.
No.
I don't
know.
No. No, she's bright. It's like a skill. So, you know, she was in the right place. Yes, I would say that she's good at math.
Mike, I never liked proofs. I thought that was a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah, I think it's too early to introduce it at that age. I know what they're going for. They're trying to get you to use logic in a different way, right? But right. I do agree. Like, it was the, I remember going through, it was painful.
Do they still do that to poor high school kids? I mean, it's one thing for like AP students, but why is like when my school was level 4, which is like not AP, but right below. Like, why do I have to learn to do that?
So here's what I told all my students, because you get in and everybody will tell you if they hate math or they love it, especially the parents, just FYI. So what I tell them is like, it's all just training you how to think. So math is teaching you how to practice logic versus, you know, music and arts and stuff. So I think that is the intention behind learning proofs, is like, we're just trying to build your logic in a different way. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, let's try it with a different way. Oh, that didn't work.
I wish math would have been explained like that when I was a kid, and that it was, you know, I try to explain to my kid now, he plays soccer. He doesn't necessarily want to be a soccer player. He wants to play basketball. But I tell him the lessons that he's learning in soccer will transcend into basketball later on, right? And if things are explained, and so automatically he's like, well, I'm going to try and be the best soccer player I can be because that is going to make me a better basketball player. If things are explained to you like that when you're a kid, at least I find when there's a bigger picture involved instead of the right now, if a kid is really intuitive, it's easier to sign in, not sign in. It's easier to get invested. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I wish somebody would have said to me, this will build your logic-based skills. This will build those skills. I wish somebody would have said that to me instead of, you're going to need it so you can count. Fucker, right. Once you know how to count, math is over to me.
Therefore, by the transitive property of association, and I was like, you guys got to be kidding me. I'm not going to need this shit. Come on. Teach me how to change my oil. That'll be more useful.
Right.
That was the way when people would always ask, too, like, Mr. Benny, when are you going to use this? When are we going to use this? And that was, again, it's like, no, of course you're going to be able to look it up later. And no, you might not be able to do this. Again, focus on the big picture. We're building skills like problem solving with logic.
Well, but I understand, by the way, but I do understand, like, okay, so I think I took some logic classes in college and stuff, but I do now understand why you might want to introduce the idea of the transitive property, but it just felt a little young for it. I mean, unless you're like a super genius, like maybe April was, but I wasn't. I also found it funny, like when I went to take an SAT prep course, they were like, okay, I know how they taught you how to multiply fractions like this in school. That's not how we do it. That's slow. Don't do that anymore. Do it like this. And I was like, well, why didn't they teach me how to do it like that before? Like the way that a lot of the stuff that I now and occasionally I have to multiply a fraction or figure out a fraction is like the thing I learned in SAT prep, not what I learned in the public high school system of New Jersey. But that's not your fault, Mike. I don't blame you.
And also, he's in Oregon.
I know, in a private school, I think, probably. So there's lots of different.
Yeah, I've since moved from teaching. I now work in a different field. But
oh, what do you do now?
I work in the tech world. This is also like, I don't want to push the gun here because, like, you know, there's this whole life advice piece I can ask you about later.
Okay, so do you guys, let's go to the normal order of things. Do you guys, either one of you, have a question for us?
Yes, I do. Beverly Hills Cop is one of my favorite movies.
Mine too.
And I know too, that you guys love it.
We reference it too much on here. Too much.
I don't complain.
Okay.
But my question to you guys is, what is your favorite song off of the soundtrack?
From Beverly Hills Cop?
Yep.
Neutron Dance.
I'm so happy doing the Newtown dance.
Is it Neutron or Newtown?
I think it's Newtown. I'm not sure.
Joel, it's okay, Neutron. We don't even need
Joel. My favorite song is Tonight. Don't you want a fantasy? Do you think I'm a nasty world? It's when Prince comes in.
That's when they go to the strip club.
Yeah, when Prince comes in. That's that Prince music.
Yeah.
Vanity, right?
Yeah, it's Vanity, but Prince wrote that song.
Tonight. Don't you want to come with me? Don't you want to come with me? Don't you want
to come with me? Nice to meet you. I think they got water on the brain. I think they got more Vanity. I think they got more water upstairs than they got sugar on a candy cane. Ooh, that shit is fire, baby. Tonight, don't you want to come with me? Don't you
want to come with me? Don't you want to come with me? Oh, man. Good question, April. You got us singing the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack.
He's like, hey, tag it.
What does he say? What does he say?
He goes, can you make sure that I don't get club soda? Because if I drink that, I'm going to throw up. Hey, Jack.
Yeah.
Can you make sure to park this in a good place? Because all this shit happened last time I parked you.
Yeah, dude, he got some kids.
All right, next great question. Movie. Go ahead.
Another question that I had for you guys is, I know that you both have worked on, like, quote unquote, kids films, like, you know, Big Fat Liar, Chicken Little. What was it like working on those sets? And was it different than other sets that you've been on?
So with Big Fat Liar, I got to work with Sean Levy on his first project ever. He had directed maybe a episode of what's the action show that the kid he's going to be on the show eventually as an intern, but he had a television show back in the day where he was like an action hero, and I think Sean Levy directed one episode of that, and then he directed Big Fat Liar, and I just remember thinking, wow, this dude hasn't directed much, and he's, you know, this movie seems like it's going to be so big. Sean Levy's now grown to be, has gone on to be one of the biggest power players in Hollywood and director, and he's a great director and producer, actually. But in hindsight, being 2020, I just thought it was really, I think it's really cool now that I got to work with somebody when they first started, and now they're like one of the, you know, they've gone on to create some great things.
I think she's asking how was a set different when you're working on something that's for children?
Oh, it's not different. Kids curse just as much as adults do.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is. What you talking about? You trying to tell me Frankie Muniz don't curse? You trying to tell me Amanda Bynes didn't curse while we was making that movie?
Oh, I see. You're saying in your instance, the kids had potty mouths.
Yeah, I mean, not really, but I'm just saying kids...
It's funny that you say that because Chicken Little was animated, so we're just, you know, we're in a sound booth. So,
but you did Cheaper by the Dozen just recently.
I know, and 6 Degrees of Sean Levy, as you started talking. Sean Levy directed the original, well, not the original, the Steve Martin version of Cheaper by the Dozen, and is the executive producer of the Cheaper by the Dozen that I just did alongside Kenya Barris. What's the difference? The kids have very limited hours depending on how old they are. Mm-hmm. As you get older, obviously, they allow you to work longer, but very young children have very limited hours. So that's always tricky, trying to get the scene that you need to get with even less time than you normally have. People definitely watch their cursing, although you're human beings like parents in front of children and you slip up and there's often a swear jar that gets filled.
Yeah, there is.
I don't know if there's any other real difference. Yeah, I think, you know, those are the main ones. I think the adults do their best to not accidentally curse around the kids, and then it's dealing with the kids' hours. I think that's the only thing I can think of.
I like kids' hours though, man. When you got kids on set, you know, okay, I'm only going 8 hours today, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway. Also, the kids have to go to school if you're during the school year, so that's also tricky. In addition to their limited hours, I think for 3 hours a day, they have to be in school. You know, they have a tutor in a trailer or something. So that's really tricky for them, too, because obviously they have to be educated.
That's where it's really crazy, too. They'll come to work and then go to school for literally 30 minutes in between setups and then come back to set.
Yeah. They have to bank all the time. And you can't do it in too short an increments, obviously. So they'll be like, okay, I got to put them in school for a half hour. We're way behind on school today. So,
right.
Have either of you established sort of like a mentorship relationship with any of those kids over the course of years?
Every one of Zach's projects, he always has kids. And so I've seen a lot of, like, I'm not going to speak for him, but there are a lot of young people in Zach's life that I would say he mentors.
Well, Joey King, you know, was a bit of a mentee to me, not mentee, but I felt like her uncle. And, you know, we did a bunch of projects together. I met her first on Oz the Great and Powerful when she was China Doll and I was the monkey. And then I just was blown away by her talent and I cast her in Wish I Was Here. And then again, every year the girl got older. Her acting was getting better and better and better. And then when I made Going in Style, it was actually written for a young boy. And I said to Ted Melfi, who wrote it, you know, this young girl is so talented. I think it'd be more interesting to see Michael Caine interact with a teenage girl than a young boy. You know, what's it like for a grandfather to try and, you know, be a part of a teenage girl's life? And now she's taken off. In fact, I think Kissing Booth,
the third movie of Kissing Booth.
It just came out, and she's, you know, she's going to have a huge career. She's in a new Brad Pitt movie, and She's on fire.
It's crazy. We knew her when she was 12. When she was little...
Oh yeah, when she was in with that movie, the scene with Donald in which I was here. Donald, you remember her?
Yeah.
She and actually I was like... she was in. Do you guys remember in one of the Batman movies when is it supposed to be young Bane? You think it's a boy, but it then ends up really her. Yeah. Yeah. That was Joey too.
She's young Talia al Ghul or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
And then there's another boy. There was a young boy in Cheaper by the Dozen who I took under my wing a little bit. Actually, these three met him too because I brought him to Disneyland with us.
Aww. So sweet.
Very sweet young boy. Very talented that I took under my wing. And apparently he occasionally listens to this podcast even though it's so inappropriate and he shouldn't be. So, Leo, if you're listening, turn it off now. I sound like those parents at the award shows. Go to sleep, honey. Go to sleep. all right, it's time for Portland, Oregon's favorite segment. It's time to
fix your life.
All right, go ahead, Mikey.
Yeah, so I was a teacher for 8 years, and then I switched careers into tech because it's all encompassing. Like when I was working, I would have to work several extra jobs to make ends meet, couldn't afford to have my wife on health insurance, and we wanted to start a family in the future. Like it's just insane hours. So I was lucky enough to be able to switch into tech. So I'm now trying to figure out, like, there's nothing, and I've sort of accepted this, there might be nothing I will ever do again that is that meaningful. Like you go home and you feel like good. So what should I look for? Like something that, you know, tech brings me the ability to support my family. I've got a toddler now upstairs, but I'm looking for something that also brings that level of fulfillment that teaching did back in the day.
I got an idea.
Go for yours, Zach.
You know, when we were talking about you as a math teacher earlier, I was also, something I didn't say, but was that I would occasionally get really lost in math class and my parents would hire a tutor. We were blessed that we had enough money that they could hire a tutor. The tutor would come over and I'd be so confused and like on the verge of tears. And because it was one-on-one and he was a brilliant teacher, like within 30 seconds, he'd explain it to me. And I'd be like, wow, well, we have the rest of the hour. What else should we do? And he would just teach me more stuff. And it made such a difference. And I was always acutely aware that the access to someone like that was a function of my parents having money to afford such a thing. So what's the first thing that came to my brain is if there's a way for you to volunteer your genius and expertise for children, high school kids who don't have the economic access to someone like you who's cool and befriends students and can talk in at their level and then also break things down that are super complicated that they're not getting. And I think the epiphanies you'd see in these kids' brains that would never have access to one-on-one like you would be very fulfilling. I'm getting lit up just by thinking about it.
I agree. I don't know what you do in tech, but if there was a way that you could, what do you do in tech? Let me ask you that first.
So right now I test software. The goal was to be able to move over to be a developer, but I've got an extra spin that I could tell you about after that. I like your idea. I didn't think about that.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, if you're in tech and you're developing, why not develop some type of teaching software where you can, you know, put something out there for students like April was to learn how to do math. You know what I mean? There are fun ways. There's this game that my kid plays now called Push the Button, and it's a math game on the phone. And you know, before you know it, he's multiplying by 9 and, you know, he's not even thinking about it, you know? There's something in that. Like I would look into, you know, once you get into the developing side, when you do get into that side, develop your passion. You said you like teaching, develop that thing, develop
Donald's
teaching
right.
apps.
If you wanted to combine it with your knowledge of software development, Donald's right. You could use your skill set as being a teacher for all those years, clearly good at it because, you know, your students like you and, you know, maybe you could develop some sort of game that would help kids.
You know, one of the things that a lot of students don't have when they get out of school is direction. And you've seemed to have found another direction after teaching, you know, and maybe you teach them how to develop software. Maybe that's something you do. Maybe you teach your old students that skill set. You know, I'm sure not everyone is as put together as April. I'm sure you have students out there right now that are like, I'm so confused at what I'm going to do. You introduce them to your new world, you know?
I'm just thinking, if you went to, I know COVID is tricky, so if it's, maybe it has to be Zoom, if not in person, what have you, but pretend the apocalypse is over. If you went to guidance counselors of some local public schools and said, hey, I used to teach, and I'm willing to volunteer some of my time. If you have students, I don't want to deal with students. I'm not trying to force anyone to learn. If they don't want to learn, then I'm not here to try and force anyone. But if you have kids that really have potential but need a little extra help, I'm willing to volunteer and help get them over some math humps. I just think that would be so incredibly rewarding for you. You would see the difference in a child that would never, his parents can't afford to hire a tutor. And I just think that would, if it was me and I was a math teacher, I just think that would light me up. That would like make me so high on life.
Thanks. Yeah. I like that. Thank you. Those are all actually legit.
Hey, Mikey.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You guys were great guests. And I wish that we could end the episode with Chris Martin's Fix You, but we're not allowed to.
They will sue the shit out of us.
No, I don't even know if they'd come.
This would be the last episode of Fake Doctors because we would be now focused on lawyer fees.
Since we're not allowed to play it, and Donald mentioned that my voice is fine as long as I'm not next to a professional, I will sing it.
Go for
lights your. Will guide you home.
Doom.
And ignite your bones.
Doom, doom.
And I will doom, try doom, to doom, fix doom, you. Doom.
Oh, beautiful.
All right, you guys have been awesome guests. We'll see you next time, everybody. We love you. Donald, count us out.
5, 6, 7, 8.
About a show we made. About a bunch of